You're listening to the Bethel Community Church Podcast. Our podcast normally showcases our weekly sermons here in Chicago at 7601 West Foster. Now, podcasts are great, but they do not replace the care and community you receive from the local church or from your local pastor. So we encourage you to come, join our community, or contact us to help you find a community in your area. We pray the Lord speaks to you as you listen. Enjoy.
Again, a happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers. As we come to God's Word, I would invite you to join me. Let's pray together and ask God's blessing on His Word and certainly on mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers as well. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you that we can come to you on this Lord's Day and this day when we set apart to remember and honor mothers. God, we all have reason to thank you for our mothers because we all have mothers. We thank you. That is according to your design. Father, we pray for mothers and grandmothers in these days. We pray that you would bless and encourage them this day and remind them that what they do, you value, for you designed them for this purpose. Father, we do ask that you would help them in the role that you have given them to be faithful to you. Encourage them and help us to encourage and affirm them. For those who are with us this morning, who perhaps Mother's Day is a difficult day for them, perhaps they didn't know their mother, or perhaps they have painful memories of their mothers, we ask that you would comfort and remind them of your care in this day. We pray that you would be with those who have wanted to be mothers or grandmothers who have as of yet not been able to. We pray that you would comfort them and remind them that your purposes for them are good and wise, even through the heartache. Father, we pray for those who have lost children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren. And as Mother's Day rolls around, it is a yearly reminder to them of those who have been lost. And we pray, God, help us as a church to rejoice with those who rejoice, and likewise to weep with those who weep, and to comfort them. And we pray that you would comfort them and show them your mercy. Lord, we pray for those who have children who have gone astray, as again, this can be a difficult day for that reason. Our prayer is that you would turn them back. Father, we pray that you would comfort the hearts of mothers, and certainly, Lord, for those women who have been spiritual mothers, that you would likewise encourage them and comfort them and remind them that what they do will have eternal significance. Father, as we come to your word, thank you for this opportunity again, Lord. We are not promised next Sunday. But Father, you have given us this time to hear from your word. And so, Lord, help me to preach as a dying man preaching to dying people the eternal, undying word of the living God. Prepare our hearts to hear and receive what you say and to see our glorious Savior for who he is and what he's done and to be reminded of his purposes for us. Lord, our trust is in you to work this morning by your Spirit to apply your word to us. And so we ask this in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. One of my earliest memories is from my mom and something that she spoke to me. I don't know exactly how old I was. I was in grade school, and I was sitting on a step in our house, and I said to my mother, "Mom, I love you more than anyone else in all the world." To which my mom wisely responded, "Son, do not love me more than God." What my mother said that day stuck with me. And I don't think she was intentionally trying to instill spiritual truth in that moment in any sort of formal way. It was an informal opportunity for her to point me once again to the truth of God, and I'm thankful that she did. Now, I am not a mother. I hope that doesn't come as a surprise to anybody, and the reality is I will never be a mother. And so I can't give you advice on how to be a mother from my experiences because I don't have any. But God's word thankfully instructs mothers in how to live as faithful mothers on mission. And so I would invite you to open your Bible to the book of Titus. That's close to the end of the Bible. Titus, we're going to be looking at chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 this morning. And I'm going to focus my application specifically for mothers and grandmothers. But if you are here and you may potentially one day be a mother, certainly I hope that you will pay attention to God's word this morning and the instructions God gives you, and that this will help lay a foundation for you for the future. If you're here and you're a single woman who is with us and you have never been married, you're never going to be married, and you don't have any biological children, I hope this is an encouragement to you that you can be a spiritual mother to children in the church and to other ladies as well. If you're here and you're a child, I hope that what we look at today in God's word encourages you to affirm and honor your mother and your grandmother for the work that they have done in your life. And if you're a husband who's with us this morning, I hope that this helps you to know how you can affirm and encourage your mother, or excuse me, your wife, your mother as well, but your wife, as you see her seeking to live on mission as she raises your children. So look with me at Titus chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5 to get the context. The Apostle Paul writes, "But as for you," speaking to Titus, "teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slave to much wine. They're to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." So mothers, for the sake of the gospel, from this text, I want to call you to exhibit godly character, to educate the next generations in the faith, and to encourage other women to live faithfully, especially in their households. And so as we come to Titus, to give you a little bit of background of what Paul is saying to Titus, Paul is writing to Titus because he's left him on the island of Crete to try to set matters straight that Paul himself was unable to do when he was on the island. Now, we don't know exactly how the gospel first came to the island of Crete. It could have been when on the day of Pentecost, some people from Crete, some Jews heard the gospel. Perhaps they took it back to the island, and as they did so, churches were started. People came to know Christ. But it was decades later that the Apostle Paul came there. And Paul, after leaving, left Titus in place to make sure that the church was able to continue and indeed to grow in fulfilling the mission that God had for them. And they faced a tall task, and Titus did too, because Crete was not known for being a place of good morals and godly living. This was not your leave it to beaver sort of society. Rather, they were known for drunkenness and for infidelity and lying and gluttony and laziness. You know, we look around at our society today and we're very similar to first century Crete, whether we want to admit it or not. And we have a nation that in many ways rejects God's creation order, and we're seeing our nation suffering the consequences of that, whether it be in families or whether it be in our schools, in our own city of Chicago, in our state, in our nation. You know, we see a nation in which sexual infidelity and confusion runs amok. We see a nation in which there is a drug abuse crisis, people dying in the streets. There is a lack of self-control that abounds and is epidemic in every sphere of life in America. But it's in this context that as the church, we are the salt of the earth, Jesus tells us, preserving righteousness. We are the light of the world. And so our godly lives and our good deeds should adorn the gospel so that when we proclaim the good news of Jesus to others, they look at our lives and they see the power of God transforming us. And they can see how great our Savior is. Mothers and grandmothers, you play a crucial role in what God is doing in our world. You can teach God's word. You can help turn back, if nothing else, in the life of just one. You can be used by God to make a difference. You can be a mother on mission, exhibiting in your home godliness and beauty and goodness and truth in a society that is marked by godlessness and repulsiveness and corruption and lies. You get to help raise the next generations in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So even if you're not a biological mother or grandmother, you too, ladies, can be involved in God's great work of making and growing mature disciples. How can you do that? I'm going to give you from our text three biblical practices from these three verses, and then we'll look at three specific applications. So I'm going to give you, they're all going to start with E to try to help you remember them. The first, in verse 3, is that you can exhibit godly character. To be a mother on mission, that's where it has to start, with your own life. You can exhibit godly character. You know, the last thing that you want your children or your grandchildren to hear coming out of your mouth are the words, "Do as I say, but not as I do." The reality is, we all fall short of God's standard, and we're all hypocrites to one extent or another. That's a reality. But nothing will hurt your witness to your own children or grandchildren than if they're looking at your life and you're just constantly saying one thing and doing another. If that's the case, your life will end up drowning out your witness. You want your life to support your witness to the gospel. So notice what Paul instructs the older women here, verse 3. He says, "Older women likewise." And that is in the same way as he instructed the older men in verse 2. Older women are to be reverent in behavior. They're to exhibit godly character and conduct. Now, the word that Paul uses here literally describes the conduct of a priest for a temple, or it could be translated befitting of a holy person. But of course, Paul's not talking to those who are serving in a temple. He's talking to those who are serving often in just their homes. But here what Paul is making clear is what you do in your home is important to God, just as important as what was done in the temple. And so then he says that there are two qualities to avoid. He says you're not to be slanderers, or that would include gossip. You're not to be slaves to much wine. Now, for the older women in Crete, where their children were already grown up, there wasn't a whole lot to do. So what would they do? They'd probably sit around and talk with others about things that they shouldn't be talking about, or get drunk. And so these were real temptations to them, as they would be for us. As godly women, as mothers on mission, it starts with your own life. Listen, you cannot give away godly character and godly conduct if you don't have it, any more than you could give away $1 million if you don't have it. And so that's where you begin. Look at your own life, your own character, and seek to cultivate godly character in your own life. You know, the most important thing about a mother on mission, about a godly woman, is simply this: her relationship with God. Because where is the godly conduct of your life going to come from? It's going to come from your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 15, "If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit." You see, it's Jesus who's working through you to change your character and your conduct. It's not something that you can do in your own strength. It's found in your walk with the Lord. Jesus goes on to say, apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus tells us, or Paul tells us, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, and the word fruit there is singular for a reason, saying it's the result of the Spirit's work in your life, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's not something you produce in yourself. That's the work of the Spirit in you. And so to exhibit godly character, ladies, it begins with your walk with God. Put your emphasis there on your relationship with God. Take the time to be with God on your own, reading the Word and praying, but also with others. If you're not in a community group, here's a selfless plug for you. Get involved in a community group so that others are able to help you to grow in your walk with the Lord. Now, before I move on, I want to pause to address the men. Specifically, I want to address husbands, but this goes for every brother in Christ. Men, let's make it our practice to encourage our mothers, our wives, our sisters in Christ as we see their godly conduct, as we see them exhibiting godly character in their lives. Let's acknowledge what God is doing in our sisters in Christ. Don't wait to do it once a year on Mother's Day. Make sure you're doing it as regularly as you see it. In Proverbs 31, where we read about what Proverbs calls the excellent wife, we read the words, "Her children bless her, and her husband does what? He praises her." He says, "Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain." That means it's like a breath, it's fleeting. "But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her works praise her in the gates." Men, let's not sin against our wives and mothers and sisters in Christ. Let's make sure that we're affirming and encouraging them. every opportunity we get. So ladies, to be a mother on mission, begin by exhibiting godly character. And then second, educate the next generations. That's what we see at the end of verse 3. Paul says they are to teach what is good. And this is actually a compound word in the Greek. Paul probably coined it himself. Literally, it just means teaching what is good. So Paul is assuming that these older women have both the life experiences and the deeper walk with God so that they can pass that on to others. You're to teach, notice, what is good. But not good as defined by our society, not good as you think it ought to be, but good as God defines what is good. Now, this word good, though Paul, I don't know if he has Genesis in mind or not, but as Christians, we ought to think back to Genesis chapter 1, where you read time and time again, as God makes things on each day of the week, God then closes with saying, "And the Lord God saw it was good." Until at the end, he finally says, "The Lord saw it was very good." It's God who defines what is good. And every time God sees each day what he's made, what he's declaring is that it is fulfilling its God-designed purpose. It's fulfilling God's intention for it. So as mothers, as grandmothers, teach what it looks like for people to fulfill their God-intended purpose for them, for how life is meant to be lived God's way. That's what you want to educate the next generations to know. And then third, in verses 4 through 5, mothers on mission encourage godly pursuits, especially in other women. Now, notice verse 3 into verse 4. They're to teach what is good and so that, or in order to train the young women to love their husbands and children. A word train could also be translated to urge or to advise or to encourage. And this could be in formal settings like a mentoring relationship. Or it would also be in informal conversations. You're just talking with someone, seek to encourage them in what God calls them to do. Now in the first century, being a good wife or mother was valued. It was prized by the people of those days. Unfortunately, we live in a society that discounts and devalues the role of wives and mothers. But ladies, listen, God puts a high value on what you do. He values you being a faithful wife or mother or grandmother because you're fulfilling his creation order and you're impacting not just the present, you're impacting the future as well. So Paul lists 7 items, probably they were meant to be taken, the first 6 of them in pairs. Verse 4, he says that you're to help encourage the younger women to love their husbands and love their children. Now, that doesn't mean that you're teaching other ladies to indulge every whim of their husband or children, not at all. It means that you're teaching them to be self-sacrificing in the way that they treat their husband and their children, to prioritize them even over themselves. Now, that was countercultural in first century Crete. Remember, this was a society that was known for being self-indulgent. It's the same for us today, isn't it? We live in a very self-indulgent culture. And so if we're teaching others and encouraging others to be loving toward their family rather than putting themselves first, What we're teaching them is to be countercultural. And then he says, you're to train or encourage them to be self-controlled and pure. Remember, Crete was marked by gluttony and lying and laziness. And so being self-controlled was very countercultural. It showed off the power of the gospel. And Paul regularly calls the Christians in Crete to be marked by self-control. Chapter 1, verse 8 tells the elders to be self-controlled. Chapter 2, verse 2 tells the older men to be self-controlled. Chapter 2, verse 5 tells the young ladies to be self-controlled. Chapter 2, verse 6 tells the young men to be self-controlled. Chapter 2, verse 12, Paul then says, the grace of God toward us in Jesus Christ teaches all Christians to be self-controlled. You know, we live in a materialistic, get-it-now sort of society, where you can get whatever you want now if you take out a loan to get it. If we demonstrate self-control and patience, it bears witness to the power of God in our lives. Likewise, in the Cretan society where they were marked by infidelity, Paul tells Titus that they were to teach what the other younger women to be pure, to be modest. Again, that stood out as it does today. And so encourage fellow sisters in Christ to have such godly character as well. And he says you're to encourage them to be working at home and kind. Now, when Paul says working at home or busy at home, he's not saying that they couldn't work outside of the house at all. That's not what he means. In fact, Proverbs 31 says that the excellent wife had a business outside of her house. This is something that husbands and wives have to talk about and seriously consider for themselves what is fitting for their own families. But what this does mean is, mothers, use the way that God has skilled you in your home. You know, the good thing is God makes husbands and wives often complementary in so many ways. I think of my own wife. She's much better at things like organizing, cleaning, budgeting than I am. Thankfully, she helps with those things, because if it were me, our house would be a train wreck. I thank God for my wife. Instead of trying to live the American dream, which often becomes a nightmare, seek to be kind to others. However God blesses you, use it to bless others. And then, as Paul sums it up, he says they're to encourage them to be submissive to their own husbands. These were countercultural calls in first century Crete, just like they are today. But if we are going to make countercultural disciples, we've got to be a counterculture to what we see around us. Why? So that we can adorn the gospel. Now, that's what Paul says at the end here. Why are they to do this? Well, why are these ladies to be mothers on mission? It's so that the word of God may not be reviled, so that unbelievers don't look at us and say, look at what happens when they come to know Jesus, their lives get worse. No, they ought to be looking at us and saying, man, look at how the grace of God in Christ is transforming them. I want to be like that. What happens is your life and the life of others around you then becomes sweet as honey, attracting others to the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. And so, mothers, for the sake of the gospel, exhibit godly character. Educate the next generations in the faith and encourage other women to live faithfully as well. Let me give you three specific ways that you can apply what this is saying to you today to be a mother on mission. The first is this: take part in the parents' or grandparents group that we have coming up that we announced earlier this morning. Again, that's going to be starting the first week of June. It's going to be 6 weeks, so it's going to be a bite-sized commitment. But there's going to be two groups. One is going to be for parents, one for grandparents. Whichever is your stage of life or whichever one would be next for you, get involved in that group. This is going to be an opportunity for you to refine your skills in parenting or grandparenting and to do so along with others so that you can encourage others in this great work. So that is the first application for you. It's to join, to take part in either the parents or the grandparents group. The second is this. Teach your own children or grandchildren to hope in God. If you are going to help other ladies to do so, then you've got to be doing so yourself. And listen, we're not expecting you to do it perfectly. The reality is we all mess up in this, and thank God your children coming to know Christ isn't ultimately dependent on you. God works often through even bad parenting to save people. But parents and grandparents, you are the primary disciple makers of your children. As a church, our role is to come alongside of you. We want to equip you and support you in what you are doing. And again, I'm going to talk to fathers really quickly. The Bible is very clear. Fathers, we are to be the leaders in our homes. That includes raising the children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So if you're not already fathers, I want to take this opportunity to call you to take up your mantle. Your wife is going to love it if you take the lead and make sure that your family is getting into God's word. Take up that role, fathers. But mothers, let me be clear. The Bible does not in any way discount your role. You're probably getting far more time with your children or your grandchildren than your husband. In Proverbs 1:8, King Solomon is writing, and he tells his children, he says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." He puts them on par with one another. Why? Because parents are to work as a team. Now, if you're a single mother, by God's grace, you're going to be fulfilling many of the roles that your husband would have been fulfilling if he were there. And so, certainly, as a church, we want to come alongside of you. And you need others, probably in your family as well. Maybe you have a godly father, or maybe you have a godly brother. Your children are going to need that influence in your life or in your children's lives. If you don't have a man like that, listen, find a godly man in the church who can help you, who can set an example for your children, who can help mentor them. God will use them in your children's lives. Your mother's... Your goal for your children should be that they would grow up to know Christ, to put their hope in Him. Likewise, grandmothers, that should be your hope. You know, more than that they would be successful in school or in sports or in a career, more than just that they wouldn't embarrass you by their bad behavior, your desire should be that they would come to know Christ. And that God would transform them. Psalm 78, verses 5 through 7 says it this way. It says, "He that is God established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." That should be our goal for our children and our grandchildren, that they should come to know the Lord. And so make it your goal to do so in formal and informal ways. Formally, bring them in regularly to gather with the church, to see that gathering with the body, that God is a priority in your life. Let them see you singing on a Sunday morning and taking part in praising God. What an example that is for them. Likewise, read the Bible with them. If you haven't been doing so, start with one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Teach your children to know Jesus. Do so, you know, one chapter at a time or paragraph by paragraph and talk with them about that. Help them to understand it. Make it a priority. And listen, if you miss a day or two, don't beat yourself up. That happens to us too. Help them to memorize God's word. I can tell you many of the memory verses that I know are because I took the time to memorize them with my children. So they know them, and that's why I know them as well. If your kids are in Awana, that's a great opportunity. They get memory verses. Memorize them with them. If you do one verse a month, that gives you 12 a year. If you memorize two verses a month, that gives your children 24 verses a year that they're learning. In 10 years, that's 240 verses that they'll have memorized. This way, they'll have God's word as their arsenal. Likewise, teach them to pray. You know, in simple ways, like the Acts model, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Teach them to pray when they come to difficulties. Teach them to pray for others like missionaries. Teach them to pray for your neighbors or your family. Those are some formal ways to teach your children, and do so as well in informal ways. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 7. Moses told the Israelites, "These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise." Listen, as you're driving to school in the morning, talk with your children about God, or use the opportunity as you see something happening. As you're driving them to sporting events, as, you know, if their team wins, teach them how to win God's way. If their team loses, teach them how to lose well. As they're learning to do their schoolwork and their chores, you know, don't just, you know, have them doing it because, okay, you want to get an A. No, teach them to do it to the glory of God. Reality is your children are going to sin against you. When your child does, teach them how to confess their sin to God. Teach them how to ask God for forgiveness. Teach them to confess and apologize to you. Where else are they going to learn this from? When you sin against your child or your grandchild, let them hear you apologize. Let them hear you confess to God what you've done. They need to see that you're not perfect either, but that your hope is in Christ. And then use that opportunity to remind your children or your grandchildren of the gospel. Remind them that they don't get to go to heaven because they've been a good boy or good girl. The only reason why they would get to go to heaven is because Jesus Christ, God the Son, came in the flesh and died for sinners. Their only hope is your only hope as well. Remind them that Christ died for sins, not theoretical sins, but real sins committed by real sinners. So when your child lies or steals or is stubborn or full of pride, or when they're giving in to fear or anger, help them to learn to take that to the Lord. Remind them of God's forgiveness to those who put their trust in Christ. Remind them that God has victory because Christ is risen from the grave. So teach them this. Teach them to put their hope in God. And then third, trust in Christ's finished work. Again, as a mother, as a grandmother, the reality is you will mess things up. Don't live in guilt and shame. Don't put your identity in being a mother or a grandmother. Instead, remind yourself of God's grace toward you in Jesus. Remind yourself of who you are in Christ. And as you do so, that will change the way that you serve as a mother or grandmother. Now, maybe there's someone in here this morning, you came with your mom or your grandmother because they invited you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Maybe you haven't come to yet know Jesus. Or maybe you've been coming a long time every Sunday and you haven't yet come to know Christ. Today, put your trust in the Savior. Put your hope in Him. And you will not be disappointed. God will forgive you and welcome you as His own. I want to close with a word of encouragement for those of you who are mothers or grandmothers. I'm going to take it from the life of the 19th century preacher in England, Charles Spurgeon. Charles' father was a preacher as well, and he was known to be away from home quite a lot. And one day as he was walking to a church to preach, he became convicted of how he was neglecting his own family, and so he ran back home, went in the house, and found nobody on the first level. And so he walks upstairs quietly, and as he does so, he hears his wife Eliza praying over their children one by one. And he hears as she comes to pray for their firstborn Charles, pleading with God because Charles was a very strong-willed boy. Well, Charles remembered the prayers of his mother. He says, one time she prayed, "Now, Lord, if my children go on in their sins, it will not be from ignorance that they perish. And my soul will bear swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold of Christ." Well, Charles grew up remembering those words of his mother, and he says, "How could I forget that picture of my own mom on the day of judgment, bearing witness against me because I rejected Christ?" Charles came to know the Lord and impacted millions of lives. Mothers, you don't know what your prayers for your children will accomplish by God's grace. You don't know what God may do through you in the next generations. Mothers, are you willing to be a mother on mission each and every day and to trust God with the results? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge of your word, but thank you for the encouragement of it as well. Father, everything you call us to do, by your grace, you support us in and use us for. And so I pray, God, for those who are mothers and grandmothers, whether biologically or spiritually, that you would especially encourage them this day and use them for your purposes. Lord, I pray that you would bless their efforts, that many would come to know you and many would grow in their relationship with you. Father, I pray as a church and especially as men in our congregation that we would affirm and encourage what we see you doing in our sisters in Christ. And Father, we pray for any who are here who don't know you, that today you would open their eyes to behold what a great Savior we have in Jesus, and to likewise put their hope in him. It is in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.